Chapter 2 February Ciabella Wedding Cake. Ingredients: 175 grams refined granulated sugar, 300 grams cake flour sifted 3 times, 17 eggs, grated peel of 1 lime. Preparation: Place 5 egg yolks, 4 whole eggs, and the sugar in a large bowl. Beat until the mixture thickens and then add 2 more whole eggs. Repeat, adding the remaining eggs 2 at a time until all the eggs have been added. To make the cake for Pedro and Rosaura's wedding, Tita and Nacha had to multiply this recipe by 10, since they were preparing a cake not for 18 people but for 180. Therefore, they needed 170 eggs, which meant they had to arrange to have that number of good eggs on the same day. To get that number of eggs together, they preserved all the eggs laid by the best hens for several weeks. This preserving technique had been employed on the ranch since time immemorial to ensure a supply of this nourishing and indispensable food throughout the winter. The best time to preserve eggs is August or September. The eggs must be very fresh. Nacha preferred to use only eggs laid the same day. The eggs are placed in a cask containing crumbled sheep fodder, allowed to cool, and then covered completely. This will keep the eggs fresh for months. If you want them to keep for more than a year, place the eggs in an earthenware crock and cover them with a 10% lime solution. Cover tightly to keep the air out and store in the wine cellar. Tita and Nacha had chosen to use the first method because they didn't need to keep the eggs fresh for that many months. They had placed the cask containing the preserved eggs between them under the kitchen table and were taking the eggs out of it as they put the cake together. When she had beaten barely 100 eggs, the phenomenal energy required for the task began to have a bad effect on Tita's mood. To reach the goal of 170 seemed unimaginable. Tita beat the mixture while Nacha broke the eggs and added them to it. A fit of trembling shook Tita's body, and she broke out in goosebumps when each new egg was broken. The egg whites reminded her of the testicles of the chickens they had castrated the month before. Roosters that are castrated and then fattened up are called capons. The family had decided to serve capons at Pedro and Rosaura's wedding because they would impress everyone with the quality of the dinner, as much for the amount of work required in their preparation as for the extraordinary flavor of the birds themselves. As soon as the date of the wedding was set for the 12th of January, they ordered 200 roosters to be bought for castrating and fattening up. This task fell to Tita and Nacha. Nacha because of her experience, and Tita as punishment for feigning a headache to avoid her sister Rosaura's engagement. "I won't stand for disobedience," Mama Elena told her. "Nor am I going to allow you to ruin your sister's wedding with your acting like a victim. You're in charge of all the preparations starting now, and don't ever let me catch you with a single tear or even a long face, do you hear?" Tita was trying to keep that warning in mind as she got set to castrate the first chicken. The castration is done by making an incision over the chicken's testicles, sticking your finger in to get a hold of them, and pulling them out. After that is done, the wound is sewn up and rubbed with fresh lard or chicken fat. Tita almost swooned when she stuck her finger in and grasped the testicles of the first chicken. Her hands were shaking and she was dripping sweat, and her stomach was swooping like a kite on the wind. Mama Elena looked at her piercingly and said, "What's the matter? Why the shaking? Are we going to start having problems?" Tita raised her eyes and looked at her. She felt like screaming, yes, she was having problems. When they had chosen something to be neutered, they'd made a mistake. They should have chosen her. At least then there would be some justification for not allowing her to marry and giving Rosaura her place beside the man she loved. Mama Elena read the look on her face and flew into a rage, giving Tita a tremendous slap that left her rolling in the dirt by the rooster, which had died from the bungled operation. In a frenzy, Tita beat, beat, beat the cake batter, as if she wanted to complete her martyrdom once and for all. She had only to beat in 2 more eggs, and the batter would be ready. The cake was the last thing to be done. Everything else, all the food for a 20-course meal and the appetizers that would precede it, was ready for the banquet. Only Tita, Nacha, and Mama Elena remained in the kitchen. Chencha, Gertrudis, and Rosaura were putting the finishing touches on the wedding dress. Nacha, with a loud sigh of relief, picked up the second-to-last egg to crack it into the bowl. Tita's shout stopped her. No! Tita stopped beating the cake and took the egg in her hand. The sound was quite clear. She could hear a baby chick peeping inside the shell. She held the egg closer to her ear, and the peeping got louder. Mama Elena stopped what she was doing and addressed Tita in an authoritarian voice. What happened? Why did you scream?
Because there's a chicken inside this egg. Of course, Nacha can't hear it, but I can.
A chicken? Are you crazy? There has never been such a thing in the preserved egg. With 2 giant strides, Mama Elena was next to Tita, grabbing the egg from her hand and cracking it open. Tita shut her eyes as tight as she could. Open your eyes and look at your chicken. Tita opened her eyes slowly. Surprised, she saw that what she had taken for a chicken was just an egg, and a fresh one at that. Listen to me, Tita. You are trying my patience. I won't let you start acting crazy. This is the first and the last time for craziness, or you will be sorry, I promise you that. Tita never could explain what had happened to her that night, whether the sound she had heard was just fatigue or a hallucination, a product of her mind. At the time, her best course seemed to be to go back to beating the eggs, since she had no wish to test the limits of her mother's patience. When the last 2 eggs have been beaten in, beat in the grated lime peel. When the mixture has thickened, stop beating and add the sifted flour, mixing it in a little at a time with a wooden spoon until it has all been incorporated. Finally, grease a pan with butter, dust with flour, and pour the batter into it. Bake for 30 minutes. After spending 3 days preparing 20 different courses, Nacha was exhausted, and she could hardly wait for the cake to go in the oven so she could finally rest. Today, Tita was not as good a helper as usual. Not that she made any complaints. Under her mother's watchful eye, she didn't dare. But when Mama Elena left the kitchen to go to bed, Tita let out a long sigh. Nacha gently took the spoon out of her hand and embraced her. Now we're alone in the kitchen, so go ahead and cry, my child, because I don't want them to see you crying tomorrow, especially not Rosaura. Nacha stopped Tita stirring because she felt that Tita was on the verge of nervous collapse. Though she didn't know the word for Tita's condition, she was wise enough to realize that Tita could not go on. Nor, in fact, could she. Rosaura and Nacha had never been close. Nacha was annoyed by Rosaura's picky eating, which had gone on since she was a child. She left her food untouched on her plate, or secretly fed it to Tequila, the father of Pulques, the ranch dog. Tita, on the other hand, had always been a good eater. She would eat anything. There was just one thing Tita didn't like, the soft-boiled eggs Mama Elena tried to make her eat. After Nacha had been put in charge of Tita's culinary education, she not only ate ordinary food, she also ate humil bugs, maguey worms, crayfish, tepezcuintle pigs, armadillos, and other things that horrified Rosaura. That's how Nacha's dislike of Rosaura began, and the rivalry between the sisters was now culminating in this wedding between Rosaura and the man Tita loved. Rosaura wasn't sure, but she suspected that Pedro's love for Tita was never-ending. Nacha was on Tita's side, and she was doing everything she could to spare her pain. With her apron, she dried the tears that were rolling down Tita's cheeks and said, "Now, my child, we must finish the cake." That took longer than it should have. The batter wouldn't thicken because Tita kept crying. And so, arms around each other, Nacha and Tita wept until there were no more tears in Tita's eyes. Then she cried without tears, which is said to hurt even more, like dry labor. But at least she wasn't making the cake batter soggy, so they could go on to the next step, which is making the filling. For the filling, 150 grams apricot paste, 150 grams granulated sugar. To prepare the filling, heat the apricot paste together with a little bit of water. After the mixture comes to a boil, strain it, preferably through a hair or flour sieve, but a coarser strainer can be used if you don't have either of those. Place the paste in a pan, add the sugar and heat, stirring constantly, until the mixture forms a marmalade. Remove from the heat and allow to cool slightly before spreading it on the middle layer of the cake, which of course has previously been sliced into layers. Luckily, Nacha and Tita had made several jars of preserves, apricot, fig, and camote with pineapple, the month before the wedding. Thanks to that, they were spared the task of making the marmalade filling the same day. They often made enormous batches of jam, using whatever fruit was in season, which they cooked in a huge copper saucepan on the patio. The pan was set up over a fire, and they had to cover their arms with old sheets to stir the marmalade. This prevented the bubbles from boiling up and burning their skin. The moment Tita opened the jar, the smell of apricots transported her to the afternoon they made the marmalade. Tita had come in from the kitchen garden carrying the fruit in her skirt because she had forgotten a basket. She walked into the kitchen with her skirt held up in front of her and was startled to bump into Pedro. Pedro was heading out to get the carriage ready. They had to deliver some invitations in town, and since the head groom had not showed up at the ranch that day, the job had fallen upon Pedro. When Nacha saw him enter the kitchen, she left, practically at a run, on the pretext of cutting some epazote to add to the beans. Startled as she was, Tita dropped a few of the apricots. Pedro quickly came over to help her pick them up. Bending down, he could see the part of her leg that was exposed. To prevent Pedro from looking at her leg, Tita let go of her skirt. When she did, all the rest of the apricots rolled onto Pedro's head. "Forgive me, Pedro. Did I hurt you?" "Not as much as I have hurt you. Let me say that my intention... I didn't ask for an explanation. You have to let me say a few words. I let you do that once, and all I got was lies. I don't want to hear any more." With that, Tita fled from the kitchen into the room where Chencha and Gertrudis were embroidering the sheet for the wedding night. It was a white silk sheet, and they were embroidering a delicate pattern in the center of it. This opening was designed to reveal only the bride's essential parts, while allowing marital intimacy. How lucky they had been to obtain French silk at that time of political instability. The revolution made it impossible to travel in safety, which is why, if it hadn't been for a Chinaman who dealt in smuggled goods, it would have been impossible to obtain the material, since Mama Elena would never have allowed one of her daughters to risk traveling to the capital to buy the things for Rosaura's dress and trousseau. This Chinaman was a crafty fellow. He accepted notes issued by the Revolutionary Army in the North as payment for the merchandise he sold in the capital, even though the notes were worthless and not negotiable there. Naturally, when he took these notes in payment, it was at a fraction of their value. But then he took them to the North, where they were worth their full value, and bought goods with them.
In the North, he accepted the notes issued in the capital, at low value, of course, and so he spent the entire revolution until he wound up a millionaire. But the important thing is that thanks to him, Rosaura would be able to enjoy the finest, most exquisite fabric on her wedding night. Tita stood as if in a trance, staring at the whiteness of the sheet, only for a few seconds, but long enough to cause a sort of blindness. Wherever she looked, she saw the color white. When she looked at Rosaura, who was writing out some invitations, she saw only a snowy ghost. But she showed nothing, and no one noticed her condition. She didn't want another rebuke from Mama Elena. When the Lobos arrived to give Rosaura her wedding present, Tita tried to sharpen her senses to figure out who was greeting her, since to her they looked like porcelain ghosts covered by white sheets. Fortunately, Paquita's shrill voice gave Tita the solution to her problem, and she was able to greet them without much of a problem. Later, when she accompanied the Lobos to the entrance of the ranch, she noted that she had never seen such a night before. To her, it was all a blinding whiteness. Now she was afraid the same thing would happen again, for she was unable to concentrate on making the icing for the cake, no matter how hard she tried. The whiteness of the granulated sugar frightened her. She felt powerless against it, feeling that at any moment the white color might seize her mind, dragging along those snow-white images from her childhood, Maytime images of being taken all in white to offer white flowers to the Virgin. She entered the church in a row of girls all dressed in white and approached the altar, which was covered with white candles and flowers, illuminated by a heavenly white light streaming through the stained glass window of the white church. Never had she entered that church, not once, without dreaming of the day she would enter it on the arm of a man. She had to block out not just this thought, but all the memories that caused her so much pain. She had to finish the frosting for her sister's wedding cake. Making a supreme effort, she began to prepare it. For the fondant icing, 800 grams granulated sugar, 60 drops of lime juice, plus enough water to dissolve the sugar. To prepare the fondant, combine the sugar and water in a pan and heat, stirring constantly until the mixture comes to a boil. Strain into another pan and return to the heat. Add the lime juice and cook until it reaches the soft ball stage, wiping the edge of the pan with a damp cloth periodically to prevent the sugar from crystallizing. When the mixture reaches that stage, pour it into a damp pan, sprinkle with water, and allow to cool slightly. After it cools, beat with a wooden spoon until creamy. To ice the cake, add a tablespoon of milk to the fondant, heat until it softens, add a drop of red food color, and frost only the top part of the cake with the fondant icing. Nacha realized something was wrong with Tita when she asked if Nacha was going to add the red food color to the icing. "Child, I've already added it. Can't you see how pink it is?" "No." "Go to bed, child. I'll finish the meringue icing. Only the pan knows how the boiling soup feels, but I know how you feel, so stop crying. You're getting the meringue watery and it won't set up properly. Go now, go." Nacha covered Tita with kisses and pushed her out of the kitchen. Tita didn't explain the reason for those new tears, but now they had been shed, and they had changed the consistency of the meringue. Now it would be twice as hard to get it to form peaks. All that mattered was to finish the meringue as fast as she could, so she could go to sleep. The meringue icing requires 10 egg whites and 500 grams of sugar, which are beaten together until they reach the coarse thread stage. When she finished beating the meringue, it occurred to Nacha to lick some of the icing off her finger to see if Tita's tears had affected the flavor. No, the flavor did not seem to have been affected, yet without knowing why, Nacha was suddenly overcome with an intense longing. One after another, she thought back on all the wedding banquets she had prepared for the De La Garza family, ever cherishing the illusion that the next wedding would be her own. At 85, there was no longer much point in crying, lamenting the wedding banquet she'd been waiting for that had never come, or the wedding she had never had, even though she had had a fiancé. Oh, yes, she had. But the mama of Mama Elena had sent him packing. Since then, all she could do was enjoy other people's weddings as she had been doing for years without grumbling. So why was she complaining now? There must be some joke in all this, but she couldn't find it. She frosted the cake with the meringue icing as well as she could and went to her room, a terrible aching in her heart. She cried all night, and the next morning she didn't have the strength to help with the wedding. Tita would have given anything to change places with Nacha. Tita not only had to attend the wedding ceremony despite her feelings, she also had to make sure her face did not reveal the slightest emotion. She thought she could manage it, as long as her eyes didn't meet Pedro's. That would shatter her pretense of calm and composure. She was aware that she, not her sister Rosaura, was the center of attention. The wedding guests were not just performing a social act. They wanted to observe her suffering. But she wouldn't give them that satisfaction. No. She heard, as she passed, the whispers in the church, and she felt each comment like a stab in her back. "Have you seen Tita? The poor thing. Her sister is going to marry her sweetheart. I saw them one day in the plaza in the village holding hands. They looked so happy." "You don't say! And Paquita says that at High Mass one day she saw Pedro passing Tita a love letter, perfumed and everything. They say they're going to live in the same house. If I were Mama Elena, I wouldn't allow it. I don't see how she can. Look how much gossip there is already." Tita didn't care for these comments at all. She was not meant for the loser's role. She would put on a triumphant expression. Like a great actress, she played her role with dignity, trying to think about anything but the wedding march and the priest's words, the knot and the rings. Her mind bore her back to one day when she was 9, when she had played hooky from school with some boys from the village. She wasn't supposed to play with boys, but she was sick of her sister's games. They went to the Rio Grande to see who could swim across it the fastest. She had been the winner. How proud she had been. One quiet Sunday in the village, she had scored another of her great triumphs. She was 14. She and her sisters were taking a carriage ride when some boys set off a firecracker. The frightened horses bolted. When they came to the edge of the village, they ran wild and the driver could not control them. Tita shoved him aside and brought the 4 horses back under control single-handedly. When 4 men from the village galloped up to rescue the sisters, they were amazed at Tita's daring feat. The villagers gave her a heroine's reception. She kept her mind on these and other memories like them in order to maintain a little contented cat smile throughout the ceremony until it was kissing time and she had to congratulate her sister. Pedro, who was standing with Rosaura, said to Tita, "And me. Aren't you going to congratulate me?" "Yes, of course. I hope you will be very happy." Pedro, holding her much closer than convention allowed, took advantage of this unique opportunity to whisper in Tita's ear, "I am sure I will be, since through this marriage I have gained what I really wanted, the chance to be near you, the woman I really love." For Tita, these words were like a fresh breeze fanning embers that had been about to die. She had had to hide her feelings for so many months that her expression now changed dramatically, and her relief and happiness were obvious. It was as if all her inner joy, which had nearly been extinguished, had suddenly been rekindled by Pedro's warm breath upon her neck, the hot touch of his hands upon her back, his chest pressed impulsively against her breasts. She could have stayed in his arms forever, but a look from her mother made her pull away in a hurry. Mama Elena came over to Tita. "What did Pedro say to you?"
"Nothing, Mommy."
"Don't try to trick me. I'm wise to your games. I've been through them before. Don't play innocent with me. You'll be sorry if I ever catch you around Pedro again." After Mama Elena's threats, Tita tried to keep as much distance as she could between herself and Pedro. But it was impossible for her to wipe that smile of sheer satisfaction off her face. The wedding now had an entirely new significance for her. Seeing Pedro and Rosaura go from table to table chatting with the guests, watching them dance the waltz or cut the cake, no longer bothered Tita a bit. She knew now that it was true. Pedro loved her. It was killing her waiting for the dinner to end to run tell Nacha everything. She could hardly wait until everyone was done with the cake so she could leave the table. Carreño's manual of etiquette said she couldn't leave until then, so she kept her head in the clouds and gobbled down her piece of cake. She was so wrapped up in her thoughts that she didn't notice that all around her something very strange was taking place. The moment they took their first bite of the cake, everyone was flooded with a great wave of longing. Even Pedro, usually so proper, was having trouble holding back his tears. Mama Elena, who hadn't shed a single tear over her husband's death, was sobbing silently. But the weeping was just the first symptom of a strange intoxication, an acute attack of pain and frustration that seized the guests and scattered them across the patio and the grounds and in the bathrooms, all of them wailing over lost love. Everyone there, every last person, fell under this spell, and not very many of them made it to the bathrooms in time. Those who didn't joined the collective vomiting that was going on all over the patio. Only one person escaped. The cake had no effect on Tita. The minute she finished eating it, she left the party. She urgently wanted to tell Nacha that she had been right in saying Pedro loved only her. Envisioning the happiness that would spread across Nacha's face, she didn't notice that with every step, the scenes of misery around her, pathetic and horrifying, were growing worse. Rosaura, retching, abandoned her place of honor. She struggled to control her nausea, but it was too much for her. Her only concern was to keep her wedding dress from being fouled by the degradations of her relatives and friends. But as she crossed the patio, she slipped, and every inch of her dress ended up coated with vomit. She was swept away in a raging, rotting river for several yards. Then she couldn't hold back any more, and she spewed out great, noisy mouthfuls of vomit like an erupting volcano right before Pedro's horrified eyes. Rosaura complained bitterly about the way her wedding had been ruined, and no power on earth could convince her that Tita had not added something to the cake. She spent the whole night moaning, in such torment that the thought of the sheets that had taken so long to embroider was driven completely out of her mind. Pedro quickly proposed they leave the consummation of the nuptials for another night, but it was months before Pedro finally found himself obliged to do it, and then only because Rosaura dared to point out to him that she was now completely recovered. That night, realizing that he wouldn't be able to ignore his conjugal duty forever, Pedro knelt by the bed, on which the nuptial sheet was spread, and offered up this prayer. "Lord, this is not lust or lewdness, but to make a child to serve you." Tita never dreamed that it had taken so long for the ill-fated marriage to be consummated. It didn't make any difference to her whether it was after the wedding or any other day. Tita was more worried about saving her skin than about anything else. The night of the wedding reception, she had gotten a tremendous hiding from Mama Elena, like no beating before or since. She spent 2 weeks in bed recovering from her bruises. What motivated such a monstrous punishment was Mama Elena's conviction that Tita, in league with Nacha, had deliberately ruined Rosaura's wedding by mixing an emetic into the cake. Tita was never able to convince her that she had only added one extra ingredient to the cake, the tears she had shed while preparing it. Nor could Nacha testify on her behalf. On the day of the wedding, when Tita went looking for her, she found Nacha lying dead, her eyes wide open, medicinal leaves upon her temples, a picture of her fiancé clutched in her hands. To be continued. Next month's recipe: quail in rose petal sauce.